Are you a joyful person? Pastor Ray Bentley says we learn a lot about joy from a certain apostle.
Paul says, I have learned. Contentment is not natural, it's supernatural. God wants you to discover the real source of joy comes from within, so that you no longer are able to find your joy or your contentment in outward things, which are variable and can change at a moment's notice. And now you need to then discover heaven within.
Spread the news. All of His people coming bow before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel, to the whole world. Where do you think you could learn the most profound lessons about joy? Maybe from a lottery winner or a brand new mother? Well, today, Pastor Ray shows us God's view of joy through the pen of a prisoner. We'll see the Apostle Paul had much to say about joy while he was sitting in a damp, dark prison cell.
Let's open our Bibles to Philippians chapter 1. And whereas Ephesians was kind of a doctrinal letter where Paul's giving a lot of teaching and it was very well thought through, sit, walk, stand is the outline of Ephesians. We are seated spiritually with Christ in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And then we are to walk worthy of the calling that we have been called with here upon the earth. And finally, we're in a spiritual battle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. And Paul says, stand, therefore, with the armor of God. Well, now we come to this letter called Philippians. And it's a very different letter because Paul doesn't have some great outline of doctrine. This is a personal letter to friends. And I think it's one of the most revealing letters of the Apostle Paul. The theme of Philippians, in one word, is joy. How to experience joy. And when we talk about the circumstances and where Paul experienced the joy of the Lord, I think that it's going to give you a unique insight. It's a very practical way. It's almost like Paul wants to share with us now as friends, not only great spiritual truths and revealing spiritual mysteries, wonderful as that is, which he did in Ephesians. Now he wants to get practical and say, here's how I do it. Paul was arrested in Jerusalem. He was held in prison in Caesarea. Caesarea is a city on the edge of the Mediterranean, the western shore of Israel. And there he was in prison for 2 years. Waiting for his trial to make its way through the court system. It seems like it takes forever. The reason, there was a riot that broke out in Jerusalem, and actually there in Jerusalem, Pilate had what's called the Antonio Fortress, a Roman garrison built right on the edge of the walls of the Temple Mount area so that he and the Roman soldiers could look in on the Jews in the Temple Mount area because there were always uprisings and various troubles and wars that could break out. So there was a battle that broke out among the Jews because Paul began preaching to his Jewish brethren, Yeshua of Nazareth is the Messiah. So, the riot broke out and Rome was there to make sure, keep the peace. So they arrested Paul, brought him to Caesarea. He gives his testimony before Felix and Festus. And they go, these are religious laws. You haven't broken any Roman laws. We don't know what to do with you. And Paul said, I appeal to Caesar. So he was a Roman citizen. He was not only Jewish, but he was a Roman citizen, and under Roman law, as a Roman citizen, you could appeal your case, if you wanted to, all the way to Caesar, which meant he would now have to leave Caesarea and go to Rome. So his purpose was, he wanted to preach the gospel before Caesar. So they put Paul in a ship, he goes across, and now they are going to be there in Rome. He is in Rome now for 2 more years. And under imperial Roman guards. that are chained to him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So 4 years of the Apostle Paul's life were spent in prison. And here, we're just going to touch on it this morning, but as we go through Philippians, here's how I want you to connect the dots and relate to it. Here's a man who was brilliant, a brilliant mind, an intellectual genius, who had been especially prepared by God. He had a combination of the best Orthodox Jewish rabbinical schooling, and he also had a degree in the best Greek education. He could speak many languages. Paul could quote the Greek historians and Greek poetry, and then he could quote the rabbis. He was a fascinating, interesting, and spirit-filled man. So there he is, and yet now he's constrained for in prison for 4 years. It's hard for us to even begin to imagine how frustrating, confining, and I think on a human level, for a while, confusing it must have been for Paul. Lord, you anointed me, you called me, you met me on the road to Damascus. You have given me divine revelations. You brought me into Arabia and revealed things to me, and then you called me as an apostle to the Gentiles. I need to go to the whole world. And so you chain me up for 4 years to a Roman soldier. And in the midst of Paul's confining circumstances, he discovered something in Philippi. He discovered the real source of joy, and it's inner joy. It doesn't come from the outside, it comes from the inside. And there are many here, in fact, I think all of us in one way or another have some confinement, some restriction, some chain that binds us. It could be something physical, it could be something material, financial restrictions, you know, disease, liabilities, ailments, aches, mental disturbances, emotional, you know, being stretched, and we resist against these things. Not realizing, as Paul discovered, that God has given to us a gift, truly a gift in disguise. So Paul teaches us how to deal with these constraining circumstances. And so Paul looked at, okay, so what is God's will for my life? Here I am chained in prison to these guys. And he looks to his soldier who's chained to him. And Paul realized, I have a, Lord, you want me to witness to this guy. I have a captive audience. Where's he going to go if he doesn't like what I have to say? So Paul began to witness and to share with these guys. And there, can you imagine being a soldier and chained to this, you know, crazy guy from Jerusalem, start sharing all these fantastic, amazing stories about some guy that died and then he rose from the dead and it was all predicted by the Hebrew prophets. But little by little, he worked his way and many of them came to the Lord. And then they had to change shifts and many of Caesar's household became part of the family of God. So while Paul was in Rome, in prison, awaiting his trial, he receives a visitor. And the visitor he gets is a man named Epaphroditus. And Epaphroditus has come from Philippi. Philippi had a very special place in Paul's heart, as we shall see. But on the way, Epaphroditus had brought a financial gift, an offering to Paul, who was still kind of the apostle and administrator of the missions of the church for the world. And this church had been personally brought to the Lord by Paul. They believed in his ministry, and though it was relatively a small church, their giving, there were some wealthy people in the church, they gave disproportionately to their size. They gave the gift to Epaphroditus, who then traveled a great distance. He went through many lands, many cultures, many different foods. And so anyway, Epaphroditus got so sick he almost died. But eventually he made it. He said, Paul, you know that special church that is so dear to your heart? They gave you this. They love you. They send greetings to you. And so basically, this letter right here is Paul said to Epaphroditus, Epaphroditus, I'm so thankful. How is Lydia doing? And how are the families there in the church in her house doing? And he said, I want to write a letter of thanks. So this letter is really just a personal letter of gratitude and thankfulness from the Apostle Paul for this financial gift, for the work of the ministry that Paul wanted to send back to one of his favorite churches. The tone of this letter is all about joy. And Paul is in, the prison he's in is probably the Mamertine prison. For those who have been to Italy, if you have been to Rome, basically not much to look at. It's a hole in the ground. And it's very dark underground. And there's a distant light way up above from far away. And yet Paul always had a light within him. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 is in your notes. Let's read that scripture out loud together. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. If you have a pen or a pencil, circle the word content. This is what God is seeking to teach me and you. This is what He wants for us. I want you to learn to be content. To be content means I don't need anything. I've got everything that I need for happiness and, more importantly, for joy. And there is nothing that could be taken away from me that could take away from my contentment. And there's nothing that could be added to me that would give me more contentment and joy than I already have. That's what Paul learned, and that's what he gave us. Now, if I were to ask you this question, for you to think about yourself, if I said, are you at this stage and place and season of your life content? Really, honestly, genuinely content? I think there are probably many of us who would say, mostly, but not completely. There are a few things I would like different in my life, especially in my circumstances. One of the interesting things is it seems that when we are new Christians and young baby believers and even toddlers and little spiritual children walking with the Lord, in the beginning He teaches us the importance of prayer, and we make our requests and petitions, and we plead with the Lord, and we pour our hearts out to Him. And it is God's good pleasure to hear our prayers and answer our prayers and give us breakthroughs and give us deliverances and rearrange through His invisible fingers the circumstances of our lives so we see the signs and the evidences that the living God is walking with me. And He's blessing me and He loves me and He's preparing a path before me and He's giving a purpose to my life. It's wonderful. But then invariably, there definitely comes a time in every child of God's life where things change a little bit. It's not like it used to be. I pray, I ask, I petition. It doesn't seem like I'm getting the same answers. And in fact, I begin to wonder and have doubts whether God is listening at all. And if He is listening, which I know in my head at least that He is listening, He's not answering. And therefore, I then begin to think, does He care? And so we begin to have doubts and struggles and so forth. And there are many Christians that at that point just plateau. They resign themselves to, well, this is the way it is. They kind of harden themselves just slightly, not to lose in any sense their belief or their faith or their salvation, but, you know, it just seems too hard. And so they plateau spiritually. And they miss a great opportunity. Here, the Apostle Paul is sharing with the believers, he is saying, hey, if God has brought you to a place where outwardly things are not being arranged to your liking and the prayers are not being answered in the same way, it is because God wants to bring something new into your life. Yes, God can arrange everything. He could give you everything you wanted just like that in a moment's notice. But your happiness would come from without. Your happiness would be based upon the circumference of the events that surround your life. And that's not really being prepared for the eternity that God has for you. He has something better in mind for you. God wants you to discover the real source of joy comes from within. And that means that at a certain point in your walk with Him, the game plan is going to change just a little bit so that you no longer are able to find your joy or your contentment in outward things, which are variable and can change at a moment's notice. And many things of which you have absolutely no control. And now you need to then discover heaven within, the joy of the Lord, the presence of the Holy Spirit that is inside of your life. Paul says, I have learned. He didn't say, I became that way, or it came in a vision, or God just gave it to me. He learned. Contentment is not natural. It's supernatural. It's something that is learned by a process of time. So, beginning in verse 1, Paul says, and here shows you kind of how this letter is different. He starts off, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ. Now, normally, how does Paul begin? Paul begins with Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God. He kind of gives his apostolic authority, and now I'm going to teach you as an apostle who's had visions and dreams, and angels have visited him, and miracles have happened through my life. Now, let me share with you these divine mysteries. But he doesn't start this letter that way. He doesn't need to impress anyone. This is family. These are personal friends. This truly is a letter to friends. So they know him, and he just says, it's Paul. I'm writing a thank you letter. It's Paul and Timothy. And he says, I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. That's all you need to know. When you really have come into a personal living relationship with the Lord, the highest calling is to be the servant of the Lord. To all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and the deacons, bishops could be also elders. So it's within the local leadership there of the saints who are in Christ Jesus in Philippi. Saints. Paul often, as he writes to the church, he calls us saints. And the word saint means set apart, or it means holy. The Hebrew word is kadosh. Holy, 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 kadosh, kadosh, kadosh is the Lord God Almighty. So the seraphim cry out in his presence, we learned from the prophet Isaiah. Now, it's one thing, you know, thinking of that in heavenly terms. It's another thing for you and me to be called saints. According to the New Testament, sainthood is not a special category for a select group. But all who are believers in Jesus Christ are called saints. It has nothing to do with you or your goodness or your abilities. It is given to you. Your holiness is given to you by virtue of who dwells inside of you. And that's the Lord Jesus and his Spirit. And by the way, isn't it interesting? It never just says, for the most part, the Spirit of the Lord, but it always says the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells inside of you. So because the Holy Spirit dwells and has made your spirit alive and one, you are holy, and therefore you are, because of the gift of Christ Jesus, saints. To the saints who are at Philippi, and grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Paul remembered them, and why did he remember them? Because Philippi was the first place the gospel landed in the continent of Europe. It's the very first place. How did it happen? Here's Paul the Jew, who first of all gave the gospel there in Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, it's all within Israel. Then to the uttermost parts of the earth. Paul especially, though he was a Jew, was called to be the apostle to the Gentiles. He went in his life on three missionary journeys and changed the world. He was a special servant of the Lord. And how did this whole gospel get planted in the continent of Europe? Paul had a vision, a supernatural vision. And in the vision, he saw a Greek man from Macedonia. And the Greek man's eyes were big and wide, and he was crying out in the vision, Paul, come, bring us the message. You are the servant, crying for help, please. And he was speaking for all of Europe. Come to us, save us, deliver us, bring us the message of the truth, the true way to God. And so the vision went away. Paul was deeply touched by this supernatural vision of a man from Macedonia. So he got into a ship, and he went with some of his companions, and they sailed off for the first time to Europe. They landed in a city called Philippi. Now, Philippi was a Greek city, but it was also a Roman colony. And the people there loved the Roman culture so much that many of them spoke Latin even and had begun to wear Roman dress. And they called Philippi a miniature Rome. So here Paul comes and he lands in this place. All right, the first place to reach an entire continent for the truth. Where's the first place that he goes? The first place Paul always went. He went to the local synagogue, or he went to find the local synagogue. Where do the Jews gather? Where is their synagogue here in Philippi? And the people of Philippi told him, we don't have a synagogue. There's no Jewish synagogue here. Paul went, He knew immediately what that meant. Because in that culture, if there are 10 Jewish males in any particular city, then in Judaism, Orthodox Judaism, you're required to build a synagogue. If there are less than 10, you don't have to build a synagogue. So the fact that there was no synagogue means there were less than 10. And so if there were less, you know, just a handful and a half of people who were there, then what they would do by tradition and by practice is they would go down by the river, someplace outdoors, beautiful and natural, and there they would read the scriptures and pray and talk to the Lord. So Paul said, okay, are there a group of people that on Saturday, the Sabbath, who go down to the river? And they said, oh yeah, there's a group of women that go down by this certain bend in the river every Saturday. Paul said, thank you. He went there. And when he went there, he met a woman named Lydia. Now Lydia was one of the wealthiest women, not only in Philippi, but probably in the Roman Empire. She was a seller of this unique dye of purple that came from that area, was sold not only throughout Greece, but throughout the Roman Empire, and for that matter, throughout Asia. She was extremely wealthy, rich. But she was a believer, and there she was by the river praying. Paul came, and he gathered Lydia around, and he began to share about Yeshua of Nazareth, that he is the Messiah. The promised one has come. He died upon the cross. He rose from the dead, and I did not believe in him. I was on my way to Damascus, got knocked to the ground, and I saw his blinding light. Still didn't know who it was. Who is it, Lord? And the voice that spoke, which shocked me and changed me forever, said from out of the midst of the glory, this is Jesus of Nazareth, whom you have been persecuting. So he went on to share his story of dramatic conversion from being a persecutor of the church now to being an apostle.
Pastor Ray Bentley is helping us launch an encouraging study of Paul's words, words about joy, in the book of Philippians, here on Maranatha Radio. And listen, if you'd like a permanent copy of today's study, get in touch and ask for Writing Dear Friends. We'll be glad to send the CD your way for just $7. Mention the title, Writing Dear Friends. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Philippians on a single CD. MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com. Or here's where to write, Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. And then we want to make sure you know about Pastor Ray's new book. It's called The Holy Land Key. It's an eye-opening look at Bible prophecy, but it goes deeper than what you've read before.
It is an examination of prophecy that goes beyond the clock on the wall and speculative timelines. You will meet the people the Old Testament prophets actually saw in the future and learn the historical context of prophecy and experience the journey of suffering and triumph lived by God's people over the centuries.
The title is The Holy Land Key. The subtitle is Unlocking End Times Prophecy Through the Lives of God's People in Israel. You'll see how God's master plan is revealed in the seven feasts of the Lord. And Pastor Ray reveals significant prophetic patterns discovered in the lunar cycle. The heavens really do declare the glory of God. Get a copy for yourself. Again, it's called The Holy Land Key. Available now at our online store at maranatharadio.com. And if you have occasion to join Pastor Ray for one of his weekend services at Maranatha Chapel in northern San Diego County, be sure to catch him after the service and let him know you listen to Maranatha Radio. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in the book of Philippians. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.